remember what tomorrow represents for each of us. It represents that time that in wars past, including even the one that we recently were involved in, the Persian Gulf, that men and women lost their lives to protect our freedoms. And of course, I trust that you will at least sometime between now and tomorrow consider the fact that were it not for these men and women who have sacrificed themselves on foreign battlefields, we would not be here this morning having the freedom to worship in the way that we worship. We worship freely, and we do so because of those that, for example, died in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the Persian Gulf, and all of the skirmishes in between. I think it'd be awful for any of us as born-again believers, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, to neglect and to be inconsiderate with our military and the important part that they have played in the years past and will play in the years to come. That's all I'm going to say about Memorial Day, because as I was looking up various words regarding memorial and memory and the whole concept of what it should mean to us, I realized that the import of anything that I would say would not be proper if I simply talked about the physical side and not give more than equal time, but all the time, if necessary, to the spiritual side. Memory plays a very important part in our lives. You will hear people from time to time say, well, I have a poor memory. Or someone else will say, I have a great memory. Those that generally say they have a great memory don't. They can't remember why they think they have a great memory. I have met people who can look at a thing and memorize it immediately. We talk about people who have photographic memories. They can look at a sheet of paper, and it's like a photograph. It just clicks and is retained in memory center. You have those that find it very difficult to memorize a thing. Some memorize by association. The unfortunate thing, when you memorize by association, especially when it comes to names, let's say a man's name is Mr. Green, and you want to remember his name, and you say to yourself, well, grass is green, and when you introduce yourself the next time, you call him Mr. Grass. You simply remembered the identity of the identifier rather than the identity of the one. That's what happens when we do that sort of thing. The hardest way, and yet in some cases the easiest, is just to hear it over and over and over again. When I was in college, one of the verses that we were required to memorize was Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And it starts with and goes on and says, for the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, I had to have that done by a certain time. Time went by. 1 week, I didn't know it. 2 weeks, I didn't know it. After 3 weeks, I still didn't know it. I had it written on a piece of paper in the mirror in the bathroom so that as I shaved in the morning, I would look at it and try to remember that particular passage. There was a block there. It just wouldn't come out. Then after I graduated, or at least got out of that situation, I began to listen to a certain person from a certain person and a certain place in the United States who would begin every message with, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, after about 690,000 hours of tapes, I don't have any problem with that verse at all. And then he would go on and he would say, and of course I used to imitate him from time to time and have fun with that. But nevertheless, we memorize by association, we memorize by a photographic recognition, we memorize by rote repetition. And if you wonder why I review so often, it's because I believe that we need to have things said over and over and over again so that we can finally get it. And here's the reason why. You cannot apply doctrine that you haven't memorized. You cannot apply a passage that you don't know from memory center. Now that's a principle that some of you have never learned. And the reason for it is rather simple. You're either disassociated, distracted, or it doesn't really matter that much to you. But I'll tell you why it is important. Because what you have memorized will be the first thing that comes from memory center in your reaction to any given stimulus of life. When you are stimulated by a particular situation, your reaction is what's in memory center. And if doctrine is not in memory center, then it will not come out. You may think of it after the fact. After the fact simply indicates that, number one, that was not your priority. Number two, it was not the first thing you thought. The first thing you thought was your reaction to the action. But when you have memorized a passage, when you have memorized the doctrinal concept, at least you have the foundation to recall it. Throughout the scripture, we have memory playing an integral part of the Christian way of life. For example, we're told in one passage to recall the former days. Another one says, remember from where you came. The Ephesian believers were challenged in the revelation, remember from whence thou hast fallen. I'm quoting the King James now. They had to remember what their status was to realize what their status had fallen from. Memory plays a very important part in our life in general. Wouldn't it be awful if I have a computer that most of you are aware of? I'll let you know that as much as I can, only because of the fact that for years I was terrified of them, not knowing anything about them. And when I finally got one, I said, I'm either going to know everything there is to know about this thing in the shortest period of time and cram everything I can on the subject, and I will be master of it and run for me and not me for it. And at least I've succeeded in some areas. Sometimes it does strange things, but I have no control over that. But nevertheless, I have one drive that is called RAM drive. And RAM drive is an auxiliary drive where you simply dump information into it. But unfortunately, as soon as you shut the machine off, all that is recorded in that part of the machine is gone. And you can set it to whatever amount you want to put in it. As the machine loads up, why, it creates that drive. On my computer, it's drive E, because all my other drives are used. Nevertheless, wouldn't it be awful if we went through life as a RAM drive? So every morning we get up, where am I? And then you'd look in the mirror and say, who am I? Because you see, when you shut down during the night, your RAM drive emptied. No, we have an absolute necessity to remember certain things, and then we begin to develop habits. A habit is just simply memory. You get up in the morning and you remember who you are. You look at your wife or husband in the bed alongside of you if you're married, and you remember, you don't say, who is that strange person? As a matter of fact, you know where your toothbrush is. You don't have to wander around the house looking for the bathroom. That would be awful in certain circumstances. You know where switches are. We have developed a leak in one of our bathrooms. We have four. And one of them has developed a leak. And it's in the master bedroom. It's in the shower. So I've been, and my wife has been, showering in the guest bathroom. Well, it's set up a little bit different. And so when I soap up, I have the washcloth, and I reach over to where the hook should be, and it isn't there. And then I start this business, you know, backing up, and then I bump into the wall, and I start moving forward, and I'm always a little bit lower than it should be, and I'm afraid to peek for fear that I'll get soap in my eyes. Well, what's wrong there? Memory. Now, I get back in my shower, and I just, whoop, and it's right there, and everything's with eyes closed. Memory. About 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, time goes so quickly, it may have been 10 at this point, I was asked to perform a ceremony at Mountain Shadows for a marriage. And so this young lady and this man were standing before me. And so after the ceremony, a man came up to me. He was about 6'4". And I found out later that he was an actor from Hollywood. And so he said to me, "What is your name?" And I said, "John Miller." And he said, "You know, I knew a John Miller." And he said, "Who was your father?" And I said, "John Miller." You see, we have boys in our family, and we just get stuck with a name. My son's name is John Miller, yeah. So he said, "Well, did your dad own a music store?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I knew him." And he said, "I know you." And I said, "How do you know me?" Now, I didn't know him. And I have an excellent memory for faces. Names, forget. I forget Bob's name sometimes. I'm standing up here and I'll make reference to somebody and I'll say, "Brother so-and-so," you know, because I forget their first name. And he said to me, "Well, when you were young, your father had a festival, a Greek festival, and he invited people from all over the state of New York. And he said, I was stuck babysitting, and you were the baby." I said, "You realize that was 50 some odd years ago?" And he said, "Right." He remembered me. By name, of course. I didn't remember him. But he told me I was only about 6 months old when that happened. And he said, "You kept crawling around and running into one room, and I'd have to run after you and pick you up and bring you back, and then you'd crawl off into another room." I thought that was rather humorous. Matter of fact, when we parted, I said, "Well, with our rate of association, I'll see you in another 50 years. And he said, "Fine." I've seen his name a few times in print when they're giving the credits at the end of a movie. And I've never seen him on the screen, though. He may have disguised himself at this point. Is memory important? It certainly is. Can you imagine getting into your automobile and forgetting how to do it? I haven't been on a motorcycle in probably 5 years, but I bet I could get on it and take off without any difficulty whatever. You know, you've heard the expression, it's like riding a bicycle. Not a motorcycle, but riding a bicycle, you never forget. You wobble at the beginning a little bit. There's certain things you just essentially remember because it's indelibly impressed upon your frontal lobes. Oh, that we would have doctrine so recorded. And that's why we review. That's why we go over it and over it and over it again and again and again. You know why? Because the Scripture commands me to do so. I'm under divine mandate. The Jews were under divine mandate. The parents were told to write the law upon the tables of their hearts. And then in turn, they were told to train up a child in the way that it shall go, and when it is old, it will not depart. Why? Because it remembers. And during those crisis times, that's when you remember. That's where memory plays a very important part in your life. Memory is a vital function of the mentality of the soul related to one's capacity for life. You will find, by the way, that people that have little or no memory have very little capacity for life. They keep forgetting things. Wouldn't it be awful if you forgot where you worked? Where do I work again? You have to be reminded. People call me occasionally and say, what time is the evening service? It's only been 7 for 22 years. What are they telling me? They haven't spent too much time during the evening service. Do we have Bible class this week? I had a person ask me once. We have it every night. That's when we had it every night. Now it's only Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Some of you will get that. We've had people show up for Bible class when it was canceled, and they were here when the announcement was made. They forgot. Do you realize not only is memory important for capacity in life, but it's also important for happiness? You'll find that people that have good memories, for the most part, are happy people. Well, at least you're not going around saying, oh, I wish I could remember that. Even in certain occupations, memory plays a very important part. I was a mechanic for many years. And I have, for example, a motorcycle engine that I took apart about 15 years ago. I'm convinced that I could put it together without any difficulty whatever, because I remember where every part goes. Good mechanics have to have a good memory. That's the reason why some of you better do it fast. Because you can't remember where the thing was or where it went. Somebody came to me once with a part. They found it in the crankcase of a motorcycle. And they said, do you know what this is? And I looked at it and I said, yes. It is the retaining rubber for the chain on a Honda. And he said, oh. I said, why? He said, because I fished it out of the bottom of the crankcase. And I said, well, that means you got problems. He says, is that what that noise is that I hear? The chain apparently was running alongside the case instead of that little piece pushing the retainer out. Little thing. Why did I know that? Because I'm a genius? No. I remember once taking one of those out. I remember also having it fall down into the crankcase and I had to fish it out. That's the positive side of memory. I will pause and simply say this. There's a negative side. Liars have to have a good memory. You know why? They have to be very careful because they can trip up themselves. Good liars have excellent memories. And how do you catch a person in a lie? They forget. Because, see, a good liar has to build his lies on previous lies. So he's got to remember what he said. Can't remember what he said, he'll trip himself up and you'll catch him every time. I've outlined seven uses of the word memorial as found in the Word of God. I'm going to be covering this evening, so please don't miss tonight, because then you'll only have half of it. And I think some of you go through life with half things. We have an expression that we use about people that do things halfway. Sometimes it's half-hearted. Like the little boy who sawed all the toilet bowls in half. And his parents asked him why. And he said, because you said that these people were coming over tonight and I didn't want them to feel uncomfortable. You know how they express themselves with regard to these people that were coming over. Some of you didn't get it. You're still sitting there going, huh? They were half-hearted. Some people have their hearts in their gluteus maximus. Here's the outline, very simply, and we'll deal with this morning and this evening. First, we have a memorial found in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. And maybe you don't know this, but the rainbow that appears every time it rains, not necessarily every time, but when it rains, you see a rainbow. The reason why you see a rainbow is because God placed the rainbow in the sky as a memorial to an event. Now, I'm sure that most of you say, well, wait a minute. Rainbow is created by virtue of the fact that the water droplets are being refracted, and as a result of that, as the light comes through, the prism is created and the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know that. I understand all that. I'm not stupid. I took fourth grade science when I taught fourth grade. Hey, listen, you learn more about what you didn't know and didn't get when you start teaching. I learned more about English grammar when I had to teach fifth grade grammar. That wasn't a challenge. And of course, as a teacher, you have to stand up there and look very authoritative, as if you have known this all your life, and you're looking and saying, is that why I do that? And then you begin to correct your grammatical errors that you use so frequently. The well-known one, of course, is the intransitive verb is, when referring to oneself. And when you answer the phone, and you say, is so-and-so there? And you say, that's me. Incorrect. That is I. Doesn't sound right, does it? That is I. Oh, really? In Genesis chapter 6, we have a record of the angels, at least some, who decided as they looked down upon the women of earth that they would cohabit. Now, I don't really care whether you believe this account or not. It's scripture, and there's no question in my mind that there was actual cohabitation between angelic beings and human beings. The result of which was an offspring that was a mutant and not a turtle. The mutant, it was a mutation of human and angelic creation. What happened, you see, is that Satan attempted to thwart the plan of God with regard to the seed of the woman. And so he thought that if he could get every member of the human race corrupted, mutated, as if you please, then there could be no pure seed, and with no pure seed, there could be no proper reproduction, because we know that mutants cannot reproduce. Hybrids cannot reproduce. And therefore, the result was sterility. And as a result of that, if he could succeed in having every member of the human race corrupted, there could be no Savior, because the Savior was to be born of the seed of the woman. He came close. All but eight. Did you hear that? All but eight. Only eight pure human beings were left. And then something occurred that had never occurred before. It began to rain. And it didn't rain like you have seen it, or as I have seen it. We talk about torrential downpours. No, that's not the way it rained in the 40 days and 40 nights of rain that God sent upon the earth. It came down in tons at a time. Not gallons, tons. For the waters that surrounded the earth, and you'll find that all documented in Genesis chapter 1, were released, and they fell to earth. And when they did, we know that Noah had been very wise in listening to the Lord and had built an ark. He built a big ship, a big boat. Wish I could take some time on that whole particular section, because it's intriguing to realize that here was a man that was obedient to the Word of God as it was revealed to him through the spoken word, and everybody around him thought he was crazy. Let me suggest to you some of the conversation that may have went on or gone on during that time. One, here's a man building a boat in the middle of the desert. That's not very practical. He's hundreds of miles from water. Number two, he says it's going to rain. And they say, what? That isn't even a part of their vocabulary. It has never happened before. The earth used to allow its water to guise up out of the ground like a kind of sprinkle system. Never had clouds built. Never had water come from heaven earthward. It was always the other way around. The waters of the deep would simply spring up and irrigate when necessary. So he's saying two things that are totally alien. And then he's saying in the third, prepare yourself for that flood, because everyone will be destroyed except those who are in the ark. The message of salvation, deliverance from that which was to come. You know how many converts he had? He preached for 120 years. He'd never make it in today's evangelistic circles. He never had a convert. Don't ever get discouraged, people, when you're ministering the word and people don't respond to it. Remember Noah. Well, the flood came and washed them all away except for Noah, his three sons, their wives, and his wife. That's eight. All the rest are swept away in the flood. And then after they came to dry land, God placed within the skies a rainbow as a reminder, a memorial, that he would never destroy the earth again by water. Every time you see one, it should bring from memory center the entire concept of Noah, the ark, his ministry, and a reminder that God will never destroy the earth in that manner. Now, most of you know that. You learned that in Sunday school. I didn't. The second was the Levitical offerings. These Levitical offerings that I'm referring to, there are many, but these are the ones that refer to memorials. Leviticus 2, Leviticus 5, Leviticus 6, Leviticus 24, and Numbers 5, Numbers 31. They dealt with two things. One, money. That we've covered already during the offering. The second had to do with the baking of and using of fine flour. As you know, flour is taken from wheat. As I was looking up a particular passage, I was intrigued because, well, Leviticus 2:16, listen to it, and tell me if you hear something that you hear often. And the priest shall offer up in smoke its memorial portion. Here's the memorial portion. A part of its grits and its oil and all its incense as an offering by fire to the Lord. Grits. Somebody says to you, grits? Y'all know what grits is, don't you? I've had it a few times. I can do without it. It's from corn. I guess if I put a bucket of sugar on it, I could go buy it. But my wife loves the stuff. Whenever we go out somewhere where they offer it, she gets it. I say ham and eggs and nothing. A bowl of grits. There was also a fine flour offering, this is interesting, for men and women who were to marry. The woman was presented to the Lord. The first thing she was to do was to take her hair out and leave it, let it hang, as it were. Apparently they wore it up. And then the man was to offer a meal offering, and it was basically for two things. The first is the one that got me, for jealousy. The second was a rebound concept. For jealousy. See, they used to prepare themselves in marriage by, in effect, saying, well, anything that would make me jealous after we're married, as a reminder of those things that you may have done before we got married, I now offer, and it gets burned up. Wouldn't that be great? You'd be surprised how many people I've counseled over the years, and one of the major problems they bring up is what the person did before they married. You see, if they had taken a jealousy offering, that would have been taken care of. I don't know who we'd burn in that case, because we don't have those burnt offerings anymore. The third area of an offer as a memorial was the ephod. You say, what's an ephod? You know, if you come to Bible class often, you're going to learn words, and you'll learn words that are not English words. For example, the word for memorial is from zikaron in the Hebrew. There's another one that was used for the memorial offering, and it's from azkara. I'll spell them for you if you desire to write them down or at least transliterate them. Z-I-K-K-A-R-O-N. The second word is A-Z-K-A-R-A-H. There was another word that was used, and it meant to remember something. That's simply from Zakar. Now, if you can't roll your R's, don't worry about it. And if you can't when you're supposed to, don't worry about that either. That's simply the Hebrew guttural. To gutturalize a word takes some practice without having people duck. Zakar, okay? Be careful how you say this, because to remember something in Hebrew is zakar. To put something in your coffee in Greek is zachari, which is sugar. When I was taking Hebrew, I had great difficulty because there are words that sound almost identical that mean opposites. Had no relationship whatever, except for one word, chora. Chora in Hebrew means dance. Chora in Greek means dance. How about that? At least they got that part right. The Greek word for memorial, which we'll see further this evening, is from, listen to it, ne-mo-sinon. And because I'm convinced that most people could not pronounce the M and the N together like ne, you hear that? They simply dropped it And now they call it memo-si-non. Memocion. Memocion. Memorial. Yeah? Mem. The Greek word mem has to do with the mind. Mne. M-N-E. Mne. It's hard for you to say it. It's easy for us to say it. That's the word, memorial, remembrance. When you come together, for example, to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are told to do so in remembrance. More about that tonight. Circumcision was a memorial. You know, the first time I heard the doctrine being taught, not only was it embarrassing, but I thought, well, that's something I probably won't bother teaching. Because I'm a prude. I find it very difficult to talk about the human anatomy at all. You notice I was talking about half-hearted people. But when it comes to this important private part of the body, I found it very difficult for someone to talk about the removing of the foreskin, etc., etc. And then, of course, it would be a reminder to the Jew of the covenant that God made with Abraham, because every time he looked down, he would be reminded that God made a covenant with Abraham. That's what the whole idea was. Oh, there are some applicational principles involved, but nevertheless, circumcision was a sign of that covenant that God made with Abraham, which we commonly refer to as the Abrahamic covenant, which are subcategorized in the Palestinian, Davidic, and New covenants, all of which come under the basic umbrella of the Abrahamic covenant. And circumcision was that identity. And every male of the Jewish identity had to be circumcised. And every time they saw themselves, it was a memorial of the Abrahamic covenant. The fifth, sixth, and seventh uses we'll cover tonight, because our time is gone because of the lengthiness of the announcements. No, not really. You see, it's a proven fact that the more announcements we have, the busier we are. Now, if Bob had talked very slowly and took that much time, but I know that he was hurrying because he could feel eyes pressed upon the back of his head. But I can appreciate the fact that that happens. And as we get busier and busier, the announcements will probably become shorter and shorter. No. At least in some respects, we may pass out sheets to remind you of these things. The fact remains, they're necessary. You've got to know what's going on so that you can remember what's coming up during the week. Now, if you don't come to Bible class tonight, you're going to only have half of what I've taught. And therefore, you'll be half-hearted. Let's pray you're dismissed. Our Father and God, we thank Thee and praise Thee for redemption through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we can recall to memory the experiences that we've had, but more important than that, the day, that moment that we confessed Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray for those who may be here this morning who have never done so. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will make their life miserable until they realize the importance of so great salvation. For us, who are children of God by faith in Christ, recall to our minds, bring us back to to remember from whence we came and now what we are, positionally and experientially, in the person of the Lord Jesus. Dismiss us now. As we think on these things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock.